Hannah Stanley filling in, speaking
Hannah
of.
Hannah Stanley with the giggle. That's what I do.
In for Frank today. Frank out building a mansion someplace?
I'm assuming. He might be working on the governor's mansion, which is segue.
That's a pretty big job. Right
and
there.
A segue into my first guest, we're talking about the restoration of the People's House in Springfield, Illinois, now that it's actually being utilized.
That's a pretty big job. I haven't been there, but I've heard so many times of... what a money pit that place was.
Might have been and could still be, but at least they're trying to restore it. A home is like a living thing, Dean. You know that. You got to keep up with it.
You earth shoe. Yeah, Daddy. A home is like a living thing.
And you thought it was weird that I walked in a turtleneck.
That's a little bit. The turban is really what threw me more. Hannah Stanley is here. Take it away.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hello, everyone. Hannah Stanley with you today, filling in for Frank Fontana on this absolutely glorious day. It's not even a glorious morning or glorious afternoon. It is a completely glorious day. Those of you who are heading out north, south, and west from the Air and Water Show, I hope you enjoyed your afternoon. David Miranda is sitting in with me. David, did you see any of the Air and Water Show this weekend?
I did not. Yesterday I was in the newsroom and I was covering the delays. It was like about an hour and almost 20-minute delay because of weather and thunderstorms and stuff.
I mentioned this to you. I was at a Little League game yesterday afternoon, and it was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And my daughter forgot her sunglasses. We were going to watch my son. And about 15, 20 minutes after we got there, I was watching the storm come in. And everybody's like, oh, it'll be a minute. And I'm watching on radar because Tom Skilling has taught me. And I'm like, no.
You're learning fast. You're learning fast with Tom.
Yeah, it's not going to be a minute. But he didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was. And it was horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. And it was not one of those parks where the cars are right there. It was like a field in the middle of a field. And it just was. So we sat out most of the rain under. But it was the wind. The wind was blowing the rain. It was terrible.
It was one of those crazy days. I was emceeing in Addison and St. Joseph's Parish party celebrating 60th anniversary. And it would rain and then it would stop and the sun would come out. Then it become humid, then chilly, then windy. Then it was just crazy. Mother Nature's playing a fast one on us.
It was a little bit bonkers. We ended up getting the rest of the game in because there was no thunder or lightning. So that worked out quite nicely. They won. Hooray. But my daughter was... soaked, completely drenched. We had to go back to the car. I happened to have a sweater for her. I took her little dress that she was wearing and put it over the vents trying to dry it. That did not help. That's how bad it was. So she ended up sitting there under a blanket. It's August and she's under a blanket watching the rest of the game because the wind was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky I had a change of clothes.
But we got to enjoy it, Hannah, because we're going to be locked in for like 6 months in a few weeks, maybe.
I know. That does happen, but that also coincides with hockey. So I'm okay with it.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm able to go, yeah, it's horrible outside, but hockey's on. So I'm good.
You got
to
enjoy it. Bears, hockey. Everything coming on.
Hockey. Now, hockey's going to be great this season. Here's what's going to be great on this show. We have, I mentioned it with Dean, the executive mansion, the governor's mansion in Illinois, down in Springfield. We've had governors who haven't lived there. We currently have a governor who is restoring it. The government is restoring it. I won't give credit to other people. But we have Vincy Hamp coming in talking about the second phase of the renovation and where we're going to be and how long this is going to take. That's incredibly exciting. Also, it is back to school. It was back to school for so many people this past week. My kids go back to school this week. And back to school means kindergarten for my daughter.
Did you have to go to those stores where everything's a mess already, a hot mess? Everything's all over the place?
I will tell you, I go before the sales start so that it's not a hot mess. Because and then I go back and have them credit me the differences. When the sales start, I go, yeah, I paid more for this. And then they give me my money back.
There you go. You avoid headaches. You know, yeah. Some schools already have like a kit. You buy the kit mm-hmm. so you don't have to go to the stores. And it's just...
My children's school does that. My kids don't like that. They like to pick out their own color folders and their own things. And
that's the fun thing about school.
I love buying school supplies.
Going to smell the new pencils and new pens and new notebooks. That's the fun thing. It's like you're starting a new season.
Yeah, they think it's fun because I'm the one who writes their name on everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't have to.
I think you have nice writing.
Well, I get it done because it's tedious. So I'm the only one who gets it done. We are going to talk, though, about all kinds of back to school stuff and things that you can still do with your kids, including backyard camping, which I got to tell you is pretty much the only kind of camping I'm going to do. And also, the Wonder Woman today, Frank does a segment called Wonder Woman, and I have met some of the neatest ladies when I've been able to fill in for him, and this is no exception. I would have been jealous if I had not met this woman, if I was not hosting today. Edna Vasquez is just, I cannot wait to meet her. She is an athlete extraordinaire, and you guys stay tuned to 2 o'clock. She will be on right after the 2 o'clock news. Participate, please. We love to hear from you guys. The phone number and text line is the same. Write it down. 312-981-7200. I am looking at the texts right now. And you can also interact with us via social media, either the WGN web pages, Twitter, Facebook, or my own, which is that Hannah Stanley. Two H's, just like that.
Easy as that.
We're going to be back right after this talking about the executive mansion.
Frank Fontana. Now let me glue that, glue that, and screw that. Any random chore you got, well, I can do that. Or maybe I'll just rewire your house for fun. I got 99 problems, but a switch ain't one.
You're jamming. You can dance.
I can. Yes. Thank you. I don't get a lot of chance. My kids get embarrassed when I dance. So I like to bust it out here in the studio.
Shake the moneymaker a bit?
Yeah. The thing that I forget is that people can watch us because we do have webcams.
Which is good for this show, especially today.
It is. We have so many things to show you guys. It is WGNradio.com. Watch live. There's a button. And then you can watch us. You can log in, and I'm waving at you guys right now. And if you're already logged in, you'll see me wave in about 60 seconds. There's a slight delay. Joining me in studio is Philip Hamp. He is from Vinci Hamp Architects, and they have been chosen to be the lead architects on the second phase of renovation for the People's House, the Governor's Mansion, in Springfield. Hello, Philip. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, tell me about. I've heard for a very long time that the mansion was falling into disrepair. Maybe because we had an administration that didn't live there. I don't know. I'm just saying, just throwing it out, blaming it on people who've already been blamed for other things. Tell me where we're at now.
Well, the house dates from 1855. It's one of the oldest governor's mansions in the country. It was done by Chicago's first professional architect, John Van Osdell. Mm. And it was a really great little Italianate building. Abraham Lincoln had attended there before he went to Washington. It's gone through many changes over its, you know, close to 150-year lifestyle. Last time it was really renovated was in 1970, and so things are getting old.
Is there a lot of paneling in the walls?
There's what we've got are things that mechanical systems, accessibility for the disabled, things have just worn out over the years. I mean, most mechanical systems don't last past 25 years. Things like that have gone on, and deferred maintenance, things like that.
So things as far as just HVAC, as simple as that, would need to be updated and upgraded.
Right. And in a building like that, its original house is 12,000 square feet, but an addition in the 70s brought it up to 49. So it's bigger than your average house. Mm-hmm. It's got 7 mechanical zones, and many of those are just worn out after all this time, need to be upgraded.
As far as aesthetics go, obviously the mechanical things are incredibly important. And at this point, if we're updating them after 40 to 50 years now, that's going to be more cost efficient, energy efficient.
Yeah, of course. Stratford.
But aesthetically, what are we doing to improve the look of it?
Well, in the 70s, they added this 35,000 addition square foot addition to the back that has a ballroom, offices, commercial kitchen, the governor's residence on the second floor, and so forth. And it changed the roof line, things like that. So the original aesthetics of the building kind of got shifted over the years. And what we're trying to do is emphasize the original architecture of the front building, which is the oldest part. So we'll be doing that through cornices. The front entrance, the main front entrance, is going to be rebuilt. So it'll be, number one, accessible to this disabled, and also, say, front door now for years that really hasn't. So the changes will be subtle. They'll underscore the original building and kind of downplay the addition to the back.
We have a text in at 312-981-7200 from 630 that says, I thought the executive mansion renovation was being paid for by private money, not government money. Please clarify.
It is private money. The money is being raised at this moment.
Okay. And this is going to, though, elevate the stature of our home, the people's home in Springfield, but also save us money in the long run because of the energy efficiency, et cetera.
Sure. Okay. That's fair.
All right. So when can we expect the second phase, which you guys are working on now, to be kind of at least looked towards to be completed? We know renovations. I watch HGTV. Those things always get delayed.
Yeah, they take a while, especially on older buildings.
Yes.
We're just beginning our architectural drawings. So we will be working on those through the fall. The building or the project will go to bid in about March of next year, 2017, and construction starting shortly thereafter. And we hope to have it done. The goal is June of 2018 in front of the state's bicentennial.
Is this the final phase, or will there be additional phases?
Well, it would be the end phase of this project. But as you know, historic buildings, you know, there's never a final phase. There's always maintenance. There's always things
to keep
up. It
needs to be top-pointed. Yes, there's always something.
And in a way, that's one of the reasons the building is in the shape it's been. It's through deferred maintenance and so forth. So, yeah, this will be the final phase of this project.
All right. This is very exciting. What possible surprises could we run into along the way?
Well, you never know when you open up something in an old building, but we have good drawings from the 1970s. We know what they did. We know what's under the walls. The surprise is we probably know by now. We know the elevator doesn't work. We know the HVAC systems are worn out. We know there's a problem with flooding, and so there's things. So there's things that we know already that, you know, we'll account for in our work.
My memory from, let's say, third grade is that it sits up on a hill.
Right.
How is it flooding?
Through sewers, downtown Springfield, in that area of 4th, 5th, and Jackson, there's a sewer that runs under the northeast corner of the site, and it is in a low point. I don't understand it completely, but
okay.
I know from
it's not just me.
From my sources in Springfield, our landscape and civil consultants, that when it floods, it can back up into the mansion basement.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That's good. We don't like flooding anywhere, let alone in the house that that people claim as their own. Are the Rauners living there?
Yeah.
See, that's a difference from the last administration.
Yeah. My understanding is Governor Rauner's there quite a bit.
And good for him for that, because it was unused before. This is something, as you mentioned, with the sewers, as you're refacing and restoring much of the home inside and out, is the landscaping then going to be, obviously, if there's sewer issues?
Well, the landscaping is an integral part with our work. We're putting on a new north entrance, as I mentioned, but part of that is working on the yard. And the way you get into the site now is from 4th Street or 5th Street up kind of a steep driveway. And the driveway is not accessible if you're in a wheelchair. So therefore the house is not accessible in a way. One of the three ground floor entrances is accessible. When we're done, all of them will be accessible. But by bringing in a new landscape approach, we're going to make the public entrance off of Jackson Street, which is the north face street,
the
runs
main
east-west.
Front of the
home.
Yeah,
so it's like you'll come in through a gate, and then there'll be a double walk, double curved walk that goes up and it's at a grade that people can negotiate in wheelchairs and so forth, and it'll get you up to a plaza at the front door.
ADA accessibility became law not super long ago, with 30, 40 years?
1990s, under the first President Bush.
And we just didn't have to do this because it was historic?
Well, the laws...
Or we just pushed it
Illinois off. Illinois has an accessibility law that was in place before that. And but the last major changes to this building were in 1970. So that was before accessibility laws.
And since we hadn't made the changes, we didn't have to bring it up to code.
Correct.
Even though we have to make it, I mean, it's the people's home, the people's house. We need to have this be something that anyone is able to access. And so this is exciting. Talk to me about security updates. Because this is a governor, one of 50 in the country, I'm sure that there have to be some security precautions taken for safety.
Yeah, it's an integral part of our work. We have consultants on that. We've talked to the executive protection people in the state police that are involved with the building. And so that's an integral part of our job.
With the drawings, you said you're starting the drawings now, and then you'll go to bid, you think, in the spring?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then based on that, maybe a year of construction and actual work?
Yeah, we're planning 14 months.
This is exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of work in a fairly short period of time. I mean, we've worked on residential projects that take longer than that, like homes and so forth.
Absolutely. There is a tremendous history of architects here in the city of Chicago specifically. But for you guys to be chosen for this, representing the state, is really tremendous, tremendous praise for you guys.
Well, thank you. And it's an honor to work on it. I'm a historian before I'm an architect, and so we always enjoy working on these buildings. And this is an important house, and it needs to be cared for.
What are some of the historic attributes or things within it that you want to make sure we preserve or accentuate?
Well, the main floor, there's three floors. There's the ground floor, which is obviously at ground level. The main floor, the formal level of the house, is the first floor. That's where our new stairway from the north will lead up to the main living rooms. Those rooms are pretty much intact from the 1970s, and they basically reflect the layout of the house from the 1850s. And that area is not changing, except it will be upgraded with new carpets, painting, and so forth. There's going to be an integral exhibition of Illinois art that's going to be on the first floor in the public rooms. That is kind of a parallel process with our restoration, but it will take artwork from Illinois artists and display it throughout the public rooms, the music room, the sitting rooms, and the state dining room. And that will be a feature of the tours. Part of integral to this whole project is Mrs. Rauner is interested in having an orientation center down in the ground floor. So visitors will come in from Jackson Street, get up to the building, come in, and then there'll be an area where they will get information on the tour, met by their tour guide, and then taken to the first floor and the second floor.
That's going to be a fantastic addition to any of the school classes that go down there and take the trip to Springfield. Philip Hamp, thank you so much for your time today, talking to us about the second phase of the restoration of the People's House, the Governor's Mansion in Springfield. I'm happy we were able to bring some attention to this. I think everything is so Chicago-centric here. Sometimes we forget that it's not the the capital. Springfield is, and the Governor's Mansion is estimated to be completed in what you said, May or June of 2018. So set that countdown clock. Philip Hamp from Vinci Hamp Architects. Thank you so much. Hannah
Thank
Stanley.
You. You're welcome.
Thank you. Filling in for Frank Fontana. More on WGN after this.
He's not ready. I'm going back to get him. I'm going to go back and get him because he's not ready. He's only 5. I don't know if he can carry his lunch tray. I don't know if he knows where the bathroom is. This car is older than him. His teacher doesn't know he needs 14 kisses every 45 seconds. She doesn't know that. He's not ready. I don't know if he'll eat his lunch. What am I going to do all day? I'm going to sit around all day and listen to the clock tick. That's what I'm going to do and count down the seconds until I can hold him. I want to watch Ninja Turtles today. I don't ever want to watch Ninja Turtles, but today I want to watch Ninja Turtles with him. I know there's still a little umbilical cord attached to him. I mean, we're still connected a little bit. He's not ready for kindergarten. He's not ready to be sitting in the same spot for 7 hours a day. I'm not going to get him because he's my baby.
That is a video that has gone viral, representing how moms feel on the very first day of kindergarten. I'm Hannah Stanley, filling in today for Frank Fontana. This is the Frank Fontana Show. WGN, you can participate. We'd love to hear what's going on with your world and your reaction and questions. 312-981-7200 is the phone and text line. If you want to text in, I have those texts up right next to me right now. 312-981-7200. David Miranda and I were laughing. Producer extraordinaire, you and I were laughing in the office before the show about that. This poor woman is representing what many of us feel when our children go to kindergarten for the first time.
And it's even funnier what happens afterwards.
We're going to play that in a second. I've gone through this once. I went through this when my son went to kindergarten. This is 3 years ago now. He went to half day kindergarten and I still had my daughter at home. So I didn't have this like complete freak out. I was sad. But I still had a child. Now my daughter is 5 and she goes and she's going to full day kindergarten. And some people are like, that is it. That's everything. Because you can work and you can do, you know, your house is clean and you can do things. And there's a moment, my daughter is Preston. She came downstairs a couple of nights ago and she's like, Mom, I've been thinking about this and I'm just really going to miss you because it's 6 hours and I don't know. I've been away from you for that long before, but I've always been with like Grand, who's my mother. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, you need to go to bed now so I can sob. It really hadn't hit me until just that moment that I'm going to be alone.
That just talks that she was also contemplating about it. Like, yes. Oh, what's going to happen?
Yes. Now we met her kindergarten teacher the other day. And we got to see her classroom and drop off her supplies, walk around the school so she's a little bit more comfortable. Because both my children are going to new schools. We had moved. And so this is a new school for both of them. And she's thrilled. She's been counting down the days. And that's been helping me. But I think there's still going to be a moment.
Is she going to have to wear a uniform?
No. Wish they would.
Yeah, because it's a lot easier. Went to Catholic school and it definitely was. You have like 3 sets of uniforms and that's it. That's another good thing about it because you have to go buy clothes, you buy supplies, you buy others. And that's also motivation for every child that wants to go to school. And I would always say, you're going to make more money. You're going to make more money.
I'm like, think about the good job you'll get if you do good in kindergarten. It's very interesting because she's been trying on her clothes, picking out outfits, designing things. It's very exciting. And my third grader is excited to start school because it's new and it's fresh and it's exciting. But he also knows what's ahead. So he knows the long days and the cold winter and, you know, spending 20 minutes getting ready just to layer up to go outside. That's ahead of him.
I think the kindergarten, preschool, and when you dorm for the first time, the first week are where you feel the most butterflies.
Yeah.
Last year, we took my nephew to NIU, and you could tell all the freshmen, you could tell their face. You could just tell. You perceive it. You feel it.
There's some fear.
Yes.
There is some fear. We have a text at 312-981-7200. We welcome all texts. From 815, this says, I am a kindergarten teacher, and this video is spot on. Ironically, this is exactly how I reacted Friday, dropping off my oldest for his freshman year. My kids are both already telling me they're going to live at home for college because they don't want to leave. And I'm like, that's fine. You can live at home forever.
They're going to be like the millennials from nowadays. They come home to parents at
do their
30-ish.
Laundry. Yeah. This is something that's going to lead us to tips in going back to school. This is helping moms and dads get in the back to school routine. Has developed expert tips for every personality type. The need freak person, you want to set a food prep day like Sunday afternoon where you and the kids pack lunches and place them in a designated area in the refrigerator so you can easily grab and go in the morning. I love this idea, but I'm also afraid of the soggy sandwich. That's why I don't do the food prep so much. The soggy sandwich is horrible.
Yeah, you have to do it separately, or you get the little disposable or the individual wrappers or the mustard or the mayo, yeah. or don't add tomato to it.
No, and the lettuce is wilted. The soggy sandwich is bad. So I like this idea as far as certain things like snacks. If you're going to use like hummus and chips, you can prepackage those. See, I've thought about this. I know.
You're a mom.
I am a mom. Like pretzels. They need 27 little pretzel sticks, and then you pre-count those.
You count them? Just,
no one
can. Oh. I'm like, now that's a little freaky.
I'm not that anal retentive. The closet stasher, create a special special shelf where extra pens, paper, and other school supplies can be kept handy throughout the year. That's wonderful because my kids invade the printer paper all the time, at least because they're very artsy. So they're like, I'm going to color, I'm going to draw, I'm going to make a diagram, I have to do such and such. We have no paper. I'm like, yeah, I know, because I just trying to print work stuff, and it's out. So I have, not only do I have a stash where the kids can go, but I have a secret stash of printer paper for when I have work stuff to do. Hopefully they're not listening. Busy Bee, create, because they're like, where's the secret stash? Create a family calendar to keep track of everyone's schedule and place a whiteboard by the door to remind you and your kids of important things to take with you before heading out the door. And as a person who does this and has sometimes fallen prey to not checking in the morning before I go to school or before I drop the kids off at school, you've got to check the calendar the night before. You have to, because otherwise you wake up and you're scrambling and you're busy and you're like, oh, I totally forgot that he has a project due or something. So
I like that calendar idea, especially to get the kids more involved so they can pick and feel like they're being utilized or their mentality is being utilized and not just saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. Even picking the food, even picking the activities, picking something.
Right. It does allow them to feel empowered, and we're going to get
empowered,
to that.
That's the word.
Yeah. Summer straggler, prioritize your to-do list and check things off one by one. It's okay not to get everything right away, but making progress will keep you motivated. And this is another thing the kids can participate in as well. When I was packing up their backpacks after I put their name on everything, they were able to check off on the list of school supplies as we put it into their backpack. So they were able to be involved and kind of get motivated more for the school year. Team player, and this is what you were talking about as well, David, the get everyone involved by having the kids switch it up a little and take on each other's chores and try something new or take on more responsibility. It really does shift up that schedule. While my time in my brain is going to be freer, I know that there's going to be other things. You know, I'll be working more because I have the day. And so it's going to be nice to be able to have them, you know, mature in what they're able to do and help out around the house. And, you know, scheduled kids get things done. They do. If they come home and they sit there on the couch and play on their devices and go, oh, I'll do the homework later, they don't do the homework.
It has to do a lot what the parents do as well. Like, for example, when a child's going to do homework, the parents should start writing their checks, making payments, doing something. So like that, everybody's working at the same time.
Yeah. I've noticed that if I'm reading, they can do reading. And so, you know, if we have 20 minutes of assigned reading, I've gone, okay, then I will also. And it's nice. I can read articles and get through a magazine or a catalog or whatever. But it's good because then it's like a team activity, mm-hmm. a group thing. I like these tips very, very much. These are good. It doesn't change the fact that I'm going to freak out a little bit on the first day of kindergarten.
I guess for all moms.
Yeah,
I guess all moms. Yeah.
A little bit. But here's the thing that's even better about that video. Are you ready for the second part? Here's the thing that I get to look forward to. Because the first day of kindergarten, everybody loses it. Every other grade, this is how moms react.
Here we go.
Hello? Yes. Manicure. Pedicure. Vegas.
Vegas is the word.
Vegas, baby. That's what I have to look forward to next year. No, I don't know. We'll see.
How long do you think it would take? Maybe like about 2 weeks before you get adjusted?
I don't know. It's honestly going to be tough. It's one of those things where I've actually been able to bring my daughter down here to work sometimes, not every day. But I did an interview last year, actually, ironically, for Wizard World, which is happening right now this weekend. It ends tonight. They brought in Carol Spinney, who has played Big Bird for decades and decades. And what a great opportunity for my daughter, who at the time was four, to meet the man who played Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch. And so she was able to come down with me and sit in studio. She was so well behaved. She just sat there in the corner very quietly.
Starstruck?
A little bit. She recognized what was going on. And at one point during the interview, he started speaking to her, because I didn't say my daughter's in the studio.
As Big Bird?
As Big Bird. It was just wonderful. And afterwards he did, after the mics were off. And it was just a special time. So we've had a lot of nice opportunities like that, she and I together. So it'll be a little bit of an adjustment, probably within 2-3 days.
Oh, okay.
I'll get into the habit, and I have some things laid out to schedule my time to occupy me so that I'm not freaking out entirely. There will be no eating bonbons and taking naps for me.
I wonder how other moms have dealt with this. I wonder if they've been more afraid than the child, because it tends to happen.
It does. It does. I think once she comes out of school, and I know that she like made it through the first day and like knew how to carry her lunch tray, like the woman was saying, I think that's going to be good. And I love that my school does this. My kid's school does this welcome back day. They're able to like meet some of the kids and meet their teacher and acclimate a little bit. So they know where the bathroom is. You know,
you have to break the ice, because then you're going to be more afraid the first day.
Right. She met some of the kids who sit by her. Yeah. Ironically, my son's name is Grayson. My name is Hannah. Hannah Stanley, filling in for Frank Fontana today. And there is a Hannah and a Grayson in her classroom. And so she's like, that's great. I'm like, you would have known their names otherwise.
And that probably makes them feel at home psychologically. Like, or it just probably makes them feel at home. Like, okay, there's a Hannah, there's a mom in the classroom.
Right, right. So a text from 847 says, my son starts kindergarten September 6th. My biggest fear is how the other children will be towards him. He's sensitive and at times emotional. The mom in me wants to protect him from bullies, but I have to put on my big girl panties and let him go. My son's very sensitive too, and that was a big fear for me, and he's done okay. But the thing is, even kids who aren't sensitive they struggle with other kids. So that's another thing. While we think our kids are more sensitive, and perhaps they are, it is one of those things that all kids go through, that adjustment period.
And I think, like, if a child comes back home and says, I'm being bullied or I'm being picked on or something, and the parents does something about it, that gives them security. Like, the mom or the dad goes and talks to the teacher, to the principal, and say, there's a solution to everything. Just like every action has a consequence, there's also a solution.
They are. And at this age, when I talked to one of the teachers about a specific incident a couple of years ago, she said, at this age, they need to know that we've got their back and we'll take care of this incident. So, yeah, definitely have a good relationship with your children's teacher and reach out if something is amiss. We are going to continue back to school talk. Keep those texts coming in and calls as well. 312-981-7200. I have the coolest item for Frank's faves. I'm debating giving it to Frank. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep that.
Frank, you got lost.
Frank, I have no idea what happened to the cool backpack. That's going to be next on WGN. Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana today. This is Frank's Faves, the segment where he gets to talk about, that's a zipper in the background, I'll explain why. This is the segment where Frank talks about things that are brand new to him or things that he loves and adores. I have to tell you, we are going to fight. I'm going to physically fight him over this backpack that is in front of me right now. If you happen to be watching or have a minute, you can log on to WGNradio.com and click the Watch Live button. This is the backpack I am talking about. On the phone to join me about this is John Schlegel. This is not just a backpack, John. This is the answer to my prayers. I have to hit multiple buttons. I got confused. That's how enamored I am with this backpack. Let me explain this. It is STM, backpack company for other things as well. couple of things that are exciting enough to begin with. It is padded in the back in segments, so it supports your back but allows your spine to actually be there. It has a strap, so you're able to put this on over like a carry-on, a rollerboard suitcase, if you will. But you know, normal things like a little cup pouch for a thermos or something. And then there's so much more. Tell me about this Drifter laptop backpack, sir.
Well, the Drifter is just a great bag. It can hold up to a 15-inch laptop and has a dedicated place also for a tablet and phone because everybody's carrying more than one device these days.
Yes, I have three with me today myself. So this,
you're pretty typical in that.
Yes. There are zippered pouches that I'm still discovering as I'm going through this. I love there's your normal organizational things for pens, a calculator, maybe even your phone. But tell me about the charging.
So today, you know, people carrying devices, it's the way they chronicle their life is through their devices, through their phones. And so they're always getting to the point where they use up all their power. So we wanted a solution where you can charge on the go as you're walking around while you're not using your device. It can be charging in your backpack as you're walking around.
This is genius and a miracle because I do this all the time, especially when we're on vacation, if you're not in the car. If I'm in the car, my phone is charging. Period. That's the law. So then this one is able to, I would just have it in my backpack, charge that up, especially if the kids are in classes, they can throw it in their backpack and charge that phone, that device. Tell me about, I'm reading that this is temperature sensitive and I don't get how this is technology is even available.
So we partnered with a company called Joey. And which makes perfect sense for us, not because Joey is a baby kangaroo and our company is based in Australia, but this battery actually has a brain. And what the brain does is it senses external temperature and it allows it to optimize charging with all the environmental factors. Another thing it does is that it senses the device you're actually charging. So it does it at the correct speed of charging. A lot of times when people have a device and they're charging it, they'll notice that it gets really hot.
Yes.
And what the Joey allows it to do is it allows it to charge at the correct rate, which keeps it from overheating.
So smart. And I just unzipped. Yeah. I just unzipped this bottom pouch because I hadn't seen it before. And I'm pulling this
and
out.
You found the Bagrella.
It's a rain cover. This is so fantastic. Where did this originate from? Because this is so smart.
It is. And especially, well, I live in San Diego and we don't get much rain. So I'm not using it as much as most people.
I'm sure.
But if you live anywhere where you get a lot of rain, you could just cover it up. And then a nice thing about it as well is it protects the backpack and everything inside. But then, you know, it can be removed so that you don't just jam it back in all wet and get all funky inside the bag. So the umbrella for the bag is entirely removable. You let it dry off before putting it back in. It's just ingenious way of protecting everything that you're carrying.
You know, I mentioned when we opened the show, man, I needed this yesterday. I was at a Little League game and a pop-up storm literally popped up. And it was, I so could have used this because we had the umbrella protecting like four of us because it was so windy and two of us had our purses, like we were hugging our purses trying to keep. So this is what I needed. This would have been perfect.
It was totally what you needed. And when you get caught in a situation like that, you're like, okay, I hope I didn't ruin my phone. Hope I didn't ruin,
right.
You know, anything that I'm carrying. And it does panic you for
it,
sure.
It does. We had, there was a mom who put her phone in her bra and I'm like, you know what? The rain's going straight through. Like there's nothing, that's exactly. Not going to help us at this point. Tell me where we can get these bags. This is Frank's fave. Nothing. This is a Hannah fave.
Well, we're available in places, like Micro Center, which is a regional, electronics store. We're also available on Amazon, and places like eBags as well.
eBags, STM. Do they need to look for anything other than that?
And I would just do a search for STM and Drifter, and this bag will come up.
This is fantastic. Tell me, do you know how long from inception to actual production this took? Because there is a lot of technology in this bag.
That's something about our process, is that we don't rush to do anything. So this, when we're coming out with next year's collection, it's a couple of years in advance that it's already on the drawing board. So we're definitely thinking it out and making sure that everything just works perfectly when we do go to market with a product.
Really, really impressed. I like school supplies, but this is... this is for me. I want this for me as well as my kids. Really, really ingenious stuff. You're able to charge up to two or three devices at the same time. You can carry three devices.
Yeah, you could carry three devices with the Joey. You can charge one and it can do pass through charging so that you can charge your Joey while you're charging anything in it, if you're getting low on power. Another thing, that there are two versions of this bag out there. So there is a version that comes with the Joey and one that doesn't, because a lot of people already have their own battery. Mm-hmm. And so we have a place for you to be able to put your battery in, route it through, and charge everything that's in the bag.
Exceptional stuff. This has been Frank's fave. It is the STM Drifter Backpack. Ask for it by name, Amazon, eBags, Micro Center locally, so you can actually go touch, feel it before you buy it. This is the bag of the next generation. Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Hannah.
Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana. And just because he's not here doesn't mean we don't do his segments. This is Frank's favorite segment, in my opinion. It is the Wonder Woman segment. And I mentioned earlier that if I had not been able to fill in today, I would have been so envious. The woman that is here in studio with me, I am thrilled, honored to meet. She is Edna Jacqueline Vasquez. You are an ultra marathoner. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be in here, Susan. I'm very proud that you invited me. And yes, Superwoman or Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, Superwoman, all of that is fitting. If you are logged in and watching on the camera, you can see how lovely this woman is who is next to me. But beyond that, what is spectacular are her accomplishments. You are an ultra marathoner, but you have taken on an extreme sport that very, very few people take on. Not a ton of people participate in, but you have done something. These desert races, you've one left, but you've done three. Tell me about this series.
Yeah, so I'm very happy that I started this series since 2013. I found it during the years running ultramarathons. That I found it is when it's the tallest race in the world, as Time Magazine has considered it, with more difficult than extreme running and as an ultramarathon. Just I want to emphasize what is mean ultramarathon.
Yes.
Yes. So the traditional marathon is 26 miles. Mm-hmm. After
The reason I know this is because I'm okay with the 0.2. Yes. It's the 26 that I'm not good with.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yes.
So then after we across this 26 miles, 0.2,
yes.
We have in consideration ultramarathon, which is we can see the distances of 30 miles, 50 miles, 63 miles, 100 miles, 200 miles, up, and up. So,
okay. Why, and why? I mean, 26.2 miles is a very high goal for so many runners. It seems to be the pinnacle of that sport. So then to continue where you do a double marathon or continue on for 100 or 200 miles, why is it something that you think, yes, I should do that?
I do believe that, you know, we found it in ourselves. In my case, you know, since I have 17 years, I practice or I training and I run in ultra marathons. I across my teenagers mm-hmm. running, and I found it that I can do. You know, like we don't have limits in ourselves. So I convinced myself year by year, race by race, and of course, yeah, you know, it's coming the hard time, it coming the pain, the difficult things. Like, no, I don't want to do that, but yeah. We do. I mean, mm-hmm. this is an impressive thing. It, you know, it's just like the part that it's not a miracle. The real thing is, it's a bless that we have as a human being that we can do it more than we think. Is when I think like, yes, I can do that and I can do more. Like everybody else doing, you know, their own effort or their own activities. For this instance, when we are, you know, when we were adolescent, we across the high school, then the university, and others, they doing the master degrees, and another they doing the PhD.
Yes.
And stuff like that. So in our physical activity, right, is when I have the convincing part of myself that, you know, I'm started with 3K, then 5K, mm-hmm. then 10K, and up and up and up. So how? It's because in the time when we prepare ourselves, and the time when we training, and the time when we get knowledge, and we have confidence in ourselves, that we can across or push a little more, is a big satisfaction that I have personally. And I say, wow, this is pretty neat. This is very bright. That's what I do. And nobody else, you know, helped me to across. It's my own feet. It's my own nails that I lost in every race.
She believed that she could, and she did,
right.
Is one of my favorite phrases. This is spectacular. I think to myself, I told David, I said, I know that if I trained, I could do a marathon. I know I could. I know, I feel it. But then I would stop. I'd be done. I'd be like, I did a marathon. Everybody should be excited for me that I did that.
It's because you should continue. You should continue that momentum, and then you get more endurance.
Grow,
and then you get
and grow. I think that in my brain, I would be like, I did it. I can do anything. And you keep going. You're like,
right.
I did it. I can do anything. I'll run 200 miles. What you have done, though, on the four deserts, three of the four deserts, tell me about how this has happened. You are just, this is, tell me about these, because you've been doing them for the past 3 years.
Yes, Hannah. Well, as I said, in 2013, I founded this series, which is the four desert series across in the world, across in the more difficult and extreme deserts, running an ultra marathon with the main characteristics is self-support. So in 2013, I'm across the Atacama Desert in Chile. Atacama is the most arid desert in the planet. So it is tremendously difficult. It's hard. The ground is salty ground. And basically it's across the desert, which is 155 miles in 7 days.
Okay, 155 miles in 7 days. I'm glad at least you pace yourself, because 155 miles, I was going to ask how long this took. With we're talking about the desert in Chile. It is 155 miles, and you said it's very salty because of the aridness of the climate. Does that make it harder for you to hit those miles? Because does it slip?
Yes, the principal characteristic that Atacama Chile has is so difficult maintain the first thing, the balance.
Okay.
Because it's all even. I mean, it's broken, it's crooked, it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is we try to run, but it's like a particular technique that you push yourself and, you know, you cannot step all through under the ground because you can boom go down. So
like snow,
right? Well, absolutely.
Okay.
Like these feelings.
This is what I know. I know snow. She runs in deserts. It's different. Yes.
It feels like that.
Okay.
But the only thing is, in the snow is soft.
Okay.
For the
and this
soul,
is harder.
Right? And this is harder.
Okay.
So you have your backpack, and you have to maintain your balance with the weight. The backpack is around 20 pounds on the back. So imagine, I'm a very little person.
Yes. Yes.
But the main thing is find out, in my own weight, in my own, pace. Step by step, step by step. It's a concentrate task where nobody's happening around him.
You're just in your own mind.
That's it.
How do you train for this? Because this is not a treadmill training.
No, it's a technical thing. I'm training with Iron Lung Fitness, which is part of a company that my husband, Jeff Long, he leads here in Chicagoland. And basically is I prepare myself with a strength, with a lot of exercise that give me a lot of effort, strength. And also I practice boxing. So boxing helped me to developing this part of the maintaining control and push myself when the things are very difficult, or when the things are very rough to go. And per week, I set up my running plan per day, around 6 and 10 miles. Per day, and then we increase the miles when we are close. Like for now, I'm in 3 months close to the last one, Antarctica.
Yes, Antarctica, which I did not know there was a desert. But that's not what I learned in history books or in geography. So you have done 3 now. You did Chile, you did
Gobi, China.
China and Namibia.
Namibia, Africa. I run in May of this year, of 2016.
Very recent.
Yes, and 2 months ago. Namibia was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was very gentle desert compared to the other ones, just because Gobi is considered the more extreme and rough desert for the weather, unpredictable weather. Mm-hmm. We started in Gobi with a snow storm. Cold, yes. I mean, it was like between 30, 31, 28, something like that. It was cold, It was rough. And then after 2 days, we come all through with the temperatures or 90, 100. And then we maintain it on the day fifth and sixth with 100, 110. And then we finish with the sand dune. So very, very impressed. The main thing in here, I just want to emphasize how, as a human being, we have this ability to maintain running in these scenarios that we cannot control in. It's just basically have the confidence, in my particular case, I cannot doubt. I don't doubt it in between of the desert, like, I can, what I want to do. No, it's just,
no, you just
I'm
have to
going
get
and yet, yes. And
just keep moving.
Keep moving.
Like Dory, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. You just keep running. Edna Jacqueline Vasquez is joining me. She is this week's Wonder Woman. I am Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana. I am going to continue our conversation. I need to talk about diet and how you prepare for this. Your fitness overall is important. This is not something you can just, jump on the treadmill, train for a couple of weeks, and then you go run a desert. So this has got to be a lifelong thing. Next on WGN.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
Speaking of life improvement, Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana, and I am thrilled that I get to meet and spend time with Edna Jacqueline Vasquez. She is this week's Wonder Woman. We were talking off air. She's here still with me. We were talking off air that after she's done with the Antarctica race that she's finishing. Is it called a race or just a run?
No, it's a race. It's part of the four desert series.
The four desert series, which I've never heard of because I don't literally run in those circles. But you are, I told you this is an honor, but also inspiration, because you are able to push yourself and strive to hit these higher goals. You are going to be the face that I see when I'm on the treadmill or when I'm in the neighborhood or on the trails. Because if you can do this, then I will say, okay, well, I can get to the 5K. I can get to the 10K. You are spectacular. In the world, this is a desert series where you run 150 miles through four different deserts. It is considered a club. How many Americans born in the United States have completed the four desert race series? 21 athletes.
Correct.
21 athletes, six women and 15 men. And how many Mexican American runners have registered in the Four Deserts Club? Just you, lady.
Right. Yes.
Just you. Hispanic people who have completed the Four Desert Race Series, three Mexican, one from Spain.
Correct.
That will be four.
Right.
Because your heritage is from Mexico. You are from Mexico, but a United States citizen. And you will be completing this in November.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, there is no maybe. This will happen. You'll be done in November.
I 100% since I started this series in 2013 is like, I want this. I want doing everything. I don't know what is going to happen for the next years, but I'm saying I will be the first Mexican American representative both countries and just, you know, share this experience, share how important our dreams, they can come true. I mean, you know, sometimes we think like, oh no, it's very difficult, it's a financial thing. It is. Mm-hmm. But I do believe is when we marry with our own dreams, it's already. I mean, it's already done. It's no doubt. And it's just find out different ways. It is find out the strategies that we can reach them. Sometimes I do believe we see our dreams like, oh no, they are so far, or I don't know, I think I'm crazy, or, but you know what, I believe in myself. Mm-hmm. I believe that I have
crazy
the
is
ability.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Who changed the word? Crazy people.
Yes.
That's true.
Oh, I was jamming out to some Beyonce who runs the world today. And I think you just embody that. Girls run the world.
You know what? It's perfect for the back to school topic that we have today. A lot of students, and we were talking about the bullying and being picked on. Mm-hmm. A lot of other students may tell you, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to do that. What do you tell students, Edna, that are being picked on, that they can't become what their dream is about?
Well, let me explain to you a little bit with an experience that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear people, they say to me, I don't know why you spend your money in there. I don't know why you do that. I don't know. You know, you will hurt your knees. You know, you won't have kids. You know, I think you spend all your energy to that. And you know what I did? I just closed my ears and I keep walking. And I just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. But how Albert Einstein saying, thank you to all of those who tell me no, because mm-hmm. for them, I doing my dreams. So basically, on your question, Dave, you just have to follow where we dream. And no matter what happened, and no matter what other people think, it's just be focused, have faith, believe in what we know, and believe in we can do. We gone, by the way, I find knowledge, I learn, I training, I be persevering. I ask people for help, for give me instruction how I can get there in those places that I didn't know. I don't know the language for this instance. In China, it is very difficult to manage. In the middle of Afghanistan, in the middle of all those places, Mongolia, where they don't speak my language, and it is so rough. But, you know, it's like, if this world is building for mm-hmm. some reason, it's because as a human being, we can reach those places, you know?
Fascinating how important and how powerful goals are. It's one of my favorite things the Blackhawks do, is that What's Your Goal campaign, because it represents that even as professional athletes, they set goals and they can achieve them. And that's what drives them. And I think that that's spoken to a lot of kids, a lot of grade school kids, a lot of older children, even adults. Tell me, I mentioned that I wanted to ask you about diet and how you prepare for it. We only have maybe a minute or so left, but tell me, daily, do you sit there and go, I can't have that cookie because I need to run in Antarctica in like 6 months?
No, I eat cookies. Okay, good. I eat chocolate.
She burns it off.
I do. The only thing of the difference is like we set, in my case, I set the training program, which is balanced with all the carbohydrates, with all the supplements, or with all the food and fruit and vegetables that I have to consume. In my case, I need to care so much to eat more because my physical activity is over than what I'm eat.
Right.
So for this instance, I have to, you know, consume more sugar or consume more carbohydrate, rice, bean, protein, vegetables, so I can increase
that energy output. That,
yes, because this particular sport discipline, the ultra running, ultra marathons, is demanding high level of the miles running, high level of the long hours running and training. So if we gone a little bit down for how much I eat versus how many miles I run, I can be very, with a lot of difference in what happened. I feel fatigue, I feel tired, then take me long time to recovering. So, and for this instance, in my perspective, you know, I have to maintain what I'm eat and what I run.
Because you have to, the recovery and repairing those muscles is key.
Yes, you are absolutely correct.
You can get
correct.
That race, you can get that run in,
right?
But then it's harder to do the one after.
Right, that's the thing. And then the key is, in this particular sport, and myself, speaking for myself, I cannot lose weight. Because if I lose weight...
You have no weight to lose.
Yes.
you would be losing muscle.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So then I take me long period to recording. So in my case, I have to push to eat more. So.
Yeah. Edna, tell me where people can find you. I've got you on Instagram at Edna Ultra Runner.
Correct.
And then on Twitter at Edna Jacqueline, and that is J-A-C-K-E-L-I-N-E, Mexican Ultra Marathoner.
It's correct. And Mexican American. And I'm very happy that everybody listened to me. And we'll see you guys in Antarctica when I come back.
I cannot wait to see you in November, and I will be following along. I'm thrilled to learn that people like you do these tasks, these incredible races, these runs, so that I don't have to. No, so that I really did not know about this, and this is now incredibly fascinating. And you are a person that I'm going to read all these things to my daughter and my son about setting goals. And really... there are pictures that will be up on the website showing your medals and your awards. This is a thrill. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank. Edna and her husband just jumped into an Uber. I was laughing because I looked outside and I was thinking, oh, that lady's really pretty. Oh, it's Edna. It's Edna.
It's her. And she's definitely somebody you want to talk to on a weekly basis, maybe.
I want to be best friends with her. She's just, she's inspirational and kind and thoughtful and just, oh, man.
And she has dreams. You know what? That's something that a few of us, maybe we lack. Sometimes we don't want to
Follow through on our dreams.
Yes.
Yes. The follow through on our dreams. You know, earlier we were talking about back to school, and it really does feel like summer is ending. Summer is over. And the thing is, it's not. But even in early fall, we have the opportunity to do so many things still before we get locked in.
And with the family as well.
And with the family, which is so important. On the phone with me right now, I have a Kristen Michelson. And you are here, Kristen. Thank you so much for joining us. This is something I would be super all over this activity. We've actually talked about doing this, which is backyard camping. Kristen, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. You know, backyard camping is something that is so simple, and we probably all don't even think it's something that we can physically do, but it's so easy.
It seems like it would be better for me because of the whole bathroom situation. I can just walk inside and then walk right back outside. And because there isn't necessarily as much prep as there would be for going on an actual camping trip, especially if you're not used to doing this. You don't know how to, you know, get to a campsite or rent one, et cetera. This is something you can take the kids, especially even littler ones, out into the backyard and have a really fun evening.
Exactly. So like you just said, not everybody has gone camping their entire child life or in the childhood with their family. So they might not know everything there is to do or what you need to bring. And it's just, it's really simple. And the great thing is if you do it in your backyard, you will have all the necessities right inside. So it's not as hard or complicated as it could be. But one of the main things you want to do is first and foremost, pick what time of the month or the week that'll work for you and your family, because obviously everybody has very busy schedules. So picking the night of the week, whether it be Friday night, Saturday night, or even sometime during the week now, since everybody's still possibly off of school, mm-hmm. you can figure out what works best for you.
The other thing is, too, this summer around here, at least, has been incredibly thick, the heat, and it hasn't dissipated as much, the humidity and the dew point. Now that we're getting more towards fall, I realize we still have a few weeks left of summer, but mm-hmm. more towards that fall-like weather, this is something a little bit easier. Maybe the bugs won't be quite as bad. It'll be more comfortable out in the backyard, and you can really make it feel very rustic.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully the weather will maintain for a while. And you could even actually do this up and through October, maybe. Just maybe do it a few different times throughout the rest of the fall. Just something fun to do as a family. Because the main thing is, I think, to really get maybe back in touch with each other mm-hmm. and with the outdoors. And put those phones down, put the electronics away, keep those inside, and actually talk to one another again and figure out what's going on in each other's lives. What did you do this summer? What do you want to do next year? What are you looking forward to in the summer or for your fall, your school time? Really get in touch with one another again and enjoy the outdoors.
One of the tips that you sent over was to get your backyard camping supplies ready. You have sent over a box of stuff that is so fun. And I don't know if I can make the noise. No, I can't make it. Jiffy Pop is one of the things you sent over. It's a great idea.
Exactly. So obviously you're going to need some main supplies like your tent and a fire pit so you can actually take care of some of your food items. But yeah, the fun things too, get some backyard games, get some fun food, s'mores and Jiffy Pop, all mm-hmm. those fun things. We carry all those at Blaine Farm and Fleet, and there's some of them around your area. So I'm hoping people will really go in and get those necessities and all the fun things. Like you had mentioned, I think one fun thing to do is really pull out those yard games. Like I said, keep the electronics inside and maybe pull out the bean bags. Or I know that we sent you one of the old school, you put the glove, the mitt on, and you throw the ball and catch it with the...
With the Velcro ball.
Velcro, exactly. Something as simple as that, but getting back in tune with your childhood.
Yeah, I've got the Velcro paddles. They're like little catch mitts, and it's a ball, so it's a little bit easier even for the kids. They just kind of have to have their littler kids can get their hand just out there and practice mm-hmm. catching. Bags is really big around here, cornhole, and so that's something a lot of families have. They can set that up in the backyard. You also sent me this really cool glow-in-the-dark frisbee disc type thing.
I've actually been watching the news that there's frisbee golf is a huge thing right now.
Golf is huge. Yes.
Exactly. So get it out there and have the kids play. I mean, you know, games that you used to do as a child that you want to bring back to your kids nowadays that might not even realize it, and they're doing it out, you know, in college and high school as it is. So bring it back with the family. And, you know, even some things for the younger students or the younger kids, why don't you go out and do some bug collecting or some plant, you know, adventures. Figure out what it is that you actually have in your yard. Maybe even walk around your neighborhood and look at it in a different perspective. Look at things that you may not have looked at before and really make it an adventure over the weekend.
You sent over also some really neat traditional, more traditional, or at least a modern take on traditional camping supplies, like a two-person dinner set, but it's plastic instead of the old-time metal ones.
Right, right. And you can still get the metal ones, but yes, this plastic one. When you're doing this camping in your backyard, try not to go indoors. Try to keep it all outdoors. So Like I mentioned, get that fire pit going and make some s'mores, make your Jiffy Pop, make some pudgy pies. And those are, you know, pieces of bread inside a cast iron, and you can put anything you want inside it, whether it be the pudgy pie or peanut butter and jelly or who knows, fajitas, anything. And then use, have the kids have their own dinner set. Have those plates and napkins and silverware and cups, and make your own adventure outside, but try not to go indoors. Make it feel like you're actually there outside. I mean, there's some of us who still want the glamping experience, and you can sneak inside if you really need to, but I think you can really last outside in your own backyard pretty easily.
This is my favorite thing. You should have heard me when I saw this in the box, and I'm going to make the noise on the microphone. That is a telescoping fork, people. This is the most exciting thing I have ever been sent, I think.
And she's not lying. She was very excited.
I freaked out because one of the biggest things, my kids love s'mores. All children love s'mores. And the act of roasting a marshmallow takes me back to Girl Scouts. I mean, it just like spans generations. But good Lord, this gives you like three extra feet. So you can stay away from the smoke. You can stay away from the actual fire and still get that perfect roast on a marshmallow.
You bet. It's the fun of the camping experience with the safety that all parents are looking for. All for $3.19.
$3.19? I would have six of these.
This is so simple. Who would have thought?
Oh, this is so good. It is. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is ingenious. And I love this. And I will happily go and get several of these. Blaine's Farm and Fleet was nice enough to send all of this out. Many locations already in the Chicagoland area. I know they're putting up a new one in, I think, Elgin or South Elgin area. It's opening up. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. So we are opening up two new stores this fall, one in Elgin, as you mentioned, and also one in Romeoville. And they'll both be opening up, hopefully Elgin around the September timeframe and Romeoville in October. So they'll both be open for this fall, so you can go out and get these items still for camping yet this fall. And also for our Toyland, which I know a lot of people are really looking forward to.
This is very exciting for that, especially for the holiday season approaching. But while we still have this summer slash fall type season upon us, the one last question I wanted to ask you, I don't have a tent. And this has been a thing that my children have been on me, like, Mom, we're gonna have a tent. And I'm like, yeah, backyard camping. What do we do? How can we work around that? We know Blaine's Farm and Fleet would, of course, be the place to get a tent if we were so inclined. But what were some of the other options if we don't have one?
If you don't have one, honestly, there's something as simple as I would put down a tarp of some sort, so you've got something down on the ground, and sleeping under the stars, there's nothing better than that, getting your sleeping bag out and actually just enjoying the fresh air. Now, granted, obviously, I know a lot of other people, a lot of people have those pop-up tents that or the easy ups maybe that don't have the sides on them, so you can at least have some cover if you wanted something over top of you.
Okay.
But yeah, honestly, even the 2-person tents that you can get that are so easy to put together, I had my husband time me putting up a 2-person tent just recently, and it only took me by myself 10 minutes to do. Really simple, easy steps, and the tent itself was only around the $80 frame, on sale for $55. So if you can really make a fun experience for a really cheap investment.
$55 really is not crazy if this is something you want to make memories with.
Right, and it's something that you can continually do. It's not just a one-time thing. You can put it away and do it, even if you wanted to, once a month or during the summer times and in the fall, or, you know, at least once a year, make it your family tradition.
Really fun ideas. I appreciate you sending all of these great things, including a pin on compass, a cute little lantern that's very lightweight, a first aid kit, etc. All of these things can be found at affordable price points at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, like you mentioned, two new stores opening soon.
Exactly. And we hope that people will be able to come in and take a look at some of the fun things we have for the camping experience for the whole family. And don't forget to enjoy that sportsman's mix that we sent over for you, too.
Oh, yes. I love mixes like that. It's so good. And it will keep you outside more enjoying the activity. Kristen Michelson, thank you so much for joining me and David and Frank's show here on WGN.
Thanks so much for having us. We enjoyed it.
All righty. Hannah Stanley here filling in for Frank Fontana. Coming up next, there's cookies.
And Wizard World.
And Wizard World. Wizard World. More on WGN with Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana.
He's not ready. I'm going back to get him. I'm going to go back and get him because he's not ready. He's only 5. I don't know if he can carry his lunch tray. I don't know if he knows where the bathroom is. This car is older than him. His teacher doesn't know he needs 14 kisses every 45 seconds. Yeah. He doesn't know that. He's not ready.
He's not ready.
What am I going to do all day? I'm going to sit around all day and listen to the clock tick. That's what I'm going to do and count down the seconds until I can hold him. I want to watch Ninja Turtles today. I don't ever want to watch
Ninja Turtles. What I do want to do, though, is eat a Ninja Turtle cookie that's sitting next to me.
I know. You really have temptation next to you.
John Sable joins me from Max and Benny's. He came in not only with cookies, but greetings from Patty Vasquez, who is one of my incredibly good friends, although I so rarely see her. We are on incredible. I'm still playing with the telescoping fork, by the way.
I see. You really enjoy yourself.
You know what? I can get a cookie with the telescoping fork.
Hey, there you go.
I know.
Easy.
John, tell me about these cookies you've brought in. It is Wizard World. Wizard World is a thing. It's happening in Chicago through tonight.
Through this evening. Yes. Actually ends at 5 o'clock.
So okay. So this evening, early evening. Hustle. Hustle, people. You got 2 hours left. Maybe they'll let you in for a discount because people are closing up. But you have cookies that bridge, they span all kinds of different fandoms.
It's very hard to know exactly what fandom you're going to need for Wizard World because it's
all of them.
Yeah, it covers everything.
All
a lot
fans.
Easier when you do a Cub convention or a Blackhawk convention. Sure. It's real simple. But
I need
Sox
no black icing at the Cubs convention.
It's real simple.
Yeah.
But when you're doing a convention like Wizard World, you have to know what you're going to do. So Pokemon Go is big. So we did all the Pokemon Go teams as well as Pokeballs and Pikachu. Ninja Turtles is always popular. Anything Star Wars is popular.
Did Pokemon get more popular because of Pokemon Go this year?
I believe it did, yes.
I would think.
And we went crazy with Pokeballs, cookies.
Okay.
Just crazy.
I knew nothing. And then all of a sudden, all of my social media feeds were Pokemon this and Pokemon that. And I literally posted, like, what am I missing? Why did Pokemon explode? It was the day that the app had launched.
Right. And that's just, it made it crazy. And it was great for us because it was an easy way to come up with cookies for that. And they sold out. We have no Pokemon cookies left.
Of course you don't. Has it waned? Since kids are going back to school, I would hope they stop playing Pokemon Go.
No idea.
I thought it was genius, though. I thought, like, let's punk the kids who are on their games. Let's make them go outside and not realize they're exercising.
Right. And then, you know, they can walk to Max and Benny's and we got a Pokestop near us and we have the cookies there and we're all set.
This is fantastic. I'm looking at these cookies, the traditional, it almost looks like a traditional smiley face cookie, but it's definitely a Minion.
Right. Now, when the Minions movie became so big when we started doing those as well. It's similar to a traditional smiley cookie. At the con, we have a traditional smiley cookie, but it has a little spot on it for the Watchmen comic book. So that it makes it a little more unique for Comic-Con.
There is also a Stormtrooper. There is Captain America. There is the Ninja Turtle, as I had mentioned earlier, and there I freaked with Ghostbusters.
That's a fun cookie.
I'm a Ghostbusters old school. I haven't seen the new one. I'm not opposed to seeing the new one. I just have kids, and so I haven't gone yet. But I am obsessed with the old school Ghostbusters.
And there was another one that we thought was going to be real big, and it was. We made a lot of them, and they sold out already.
Now, the one I don't recognize is...
This one?
No, that's the Pokemon one.
Right.
What's the other one?
This one?
Yes.
That's the Pokeball. That's what they use to catch. That's what they use to catch the Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, all right. Good. Thank you for that. Tell me, you guys are still at Wizard World?
We're still at Wizard World. Yes, for the next
couple hours.
You know, next couple of hours. And then we have these cookies, actually, the ones that I'm showing off here, are the ones that I took from the store this morning. Because I didn't want to deplete what we had at Wizard World.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're selling them like crazy. So these are cookies that we sell every day.
Mm-hmm.
These designs, plus others. We have back-to-school cookies now, and we're doing, Blackhawk season is going to start up again, so we have Blackhawk cookies.
Yes.
And we still have Cub cookies because their season's going real well.
Yes, and I actually was talking to you about this. You do make custom cookies.
Absolutely.
Because my eyes lit up. I'm doing a Brave Merida party for those who are parents, you know what Disney's Brave is. But it's all about shields and arrows and archery and stuff.
Absolutely. And we can do, you know, we do custom cookies all the time. And you can go to our website, maxandbennys.com, and click on the link for Contact Us and send us the information you want for custom cookies. And we can work with you and get you the design that you'd like.
This is so exciting. Tell me where you guys are located.
We're at 461 Waukegan Road in Northbrook, which is in right by the Tollway Express entrance ramp. So we're between Lake Cook and Dundee Roads on Waukegan.
Not nearly as hard to get to as some people might think. It's really pretty easy.
It's really easy. From here, I can get there from downtown in 20 minutes when there's light traffic.
Well, 3 in the morning.
When I visit Patty, it's like
yes, traffic. Exactly, because she's on, of course, at 11 to 2 Monday through Fridays. Tell me how much these cookies go for.
At Wizard World, obviously, there's a they're all priced up.
A little bit.
But we price them at the store from anywhere from $2.95 up.
That's fantastic.
It depends on the intricacies of the design.
Sure. Ghostbusters, there's a little bit to it. I'm going to take some pictures and post those up at my Facebook and Twitter pages. That is at that Hannah Stanley, 2 H's, 2 T's, 3 T's, whatever. We are going to have those posted as well. John, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, our pleasure.
This is so fun. We are going to get you guys to a quick break, get you to the news, and then get you to the guys from the beat. I didn't realize we were coming back so quickly. That's awesome.
We are so fast like that.
I know. This is great. What else do we want to talk about? Here, I got some things.
You know what? These cookies are definitely great for a kid's party because you know how kids can go crazy about this stuff.
I love this too because they're able to take them home. It's not like the cake. Like at weddings, you walk home with cake, right? You leave with a piece of cake or, you know, nobody ever eats.
And normally after the dinner.
I mean the cake in the car. like that cake was good. That cake's not going to make it home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they wrap it in the wax paper. But the cookies you're able to take home with you. That's fantastic. That's good stuff. I love that. So here's a couple of things that are going on. One, the guys from the beat are going to be on, including Jarrett Payton. We're very excited about that and about getting to see him. But I'm doing comedy twice this week. Twice.
Where at?
I'm going to be at Zany's in Rosemont on Tuesday night starting at 8 o'clock. Here's what's great about the Tuesday night in Rosemont. They do a Tuesday 10, and they have 10 comedians do like 6-minute sets. And so bang, zoom, hour and a half, you're in, out, done. Fantastic. And you've seen really, really good comedians.
You have everything on the Hannah?
Yes, that will be up at that Hannah Stanley. Absolutely. And then I'm also doing another show in Barrington at a place called McGonagall's Pub. I will make no Harry Potter jokes while I'm there.
When will that be?
That's going to be Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So I know.
When you laugh, it's therapy. Laughing is therapy. Honestly. Even for the Great Depression, that was the therapy that people were able to get through the Great Depression through that type of therapy as well. Laughing.
Well, and see, that's where some of our really good comedy comes from.